Rock That Boogie.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for your donations and overwhelming support of this listener-sponsored community radio, KPFK. It is the support of listeners like you that keeps this station strong, fiercely independent, and powered by the people. Thank you from all of us at Pacifica Radio's KPFK 90.7 FM.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, coming at you every week, Saturdays from 1 to 2 on 90.7 KPFK FM. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-hosts in the world, Michelle Spencer, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a radio veteran, a practicing attorney and owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Good to be back with you and Ricardo.
Welcome back. We missed you last week. We didn't have any guidance. We were a ship without a rudder or a car without a steering wheel or whatever the analogy is. Last but not least, our good friend and an actual race car driver, a motorcyclist, and another automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Welcome, Ricardo.
Thank you very much, Mark and Michelle. It's a pleasure always to be with you.
And it's a pleasure. Before we get to this, we got a lot to get to because there's been a lot going on. It involves a Kardashian and more, and a rapper. Believe it or not, it's car related.
Oh, boy.
We're going to get to that in just a second. First, we have to ask you to support this, not support the Kardashians, but support this, KPFK. Support the Car Show, support good journalism, quality journalism, points of view you won't get anywhere else, information you won't find out anywhere else, not just here on our show, on the Car Show, but on all the shows here on KPFK. They bring you something you won't get anywhere else, not in print, not online, not any other radio station. They are out there working hard on your behalf. There is almost nobody here who is actually paid. We are all doing this gratis, and we ask for you to help pay the bills here for us. So please do your part. Send in $5, send in $10, send in $1 million to call KPFK at 818-985-5735. You can talk to an actual person and make a donation there, or you can go to kpfk.org. and make a donation online. You won't even have to talk to anybody. That might be the way I prefer it.
Yeah, all you have to do is click in the upper left-hand corner where it says support.
Yes, and you can even donate your junker car or your classic car. You have a Bugatti out in the garage. You don't know what to do with it. Your spouse is telling you, get that heap out of here. Go on to KPFK. Donate your Bugatti Type 57 Atalanta, please. We could use it here at KPFK. Or just call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. Now, on to our calendar events. Ricardo, what do you want to start out with? Should I start out with Woodley Park in Van Nuys?
Yeah, and if you're still around, I mean, Air and Water is going on right now.
Yeah, how much more time do they have? They have like an hour to get there. And
I think a little bit more than that. I think it's going to be all the way until 4 o'clock, but that's something interesting. It's last minute, but it's worth mentioning.
It's like Luftgekühlt, sort of, with a little bit more. I think there's an auction going on down there. There's a lot going on at the OC Fairgrounds, right, Ricardo?
That's correct, at the Orange County Fairgrounds.
Yep, and maybe Michelle will be there. Oh, she has Mazdas, not a Porsche. Not yet. Porsche's coming in your future.
I was going to say, just hang on. I will get there.
If you like English car shows, tomorrow, the Queen's English All-British Car Meet and Auto Jumble is going to be held from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is 100% free, won't cost you a nickel. That's held in Woodley Park in Van Nuys, 9 to 3 a.m. You can get your Bentley, your Triumph, your Austin Healey, Range Rover, Morris Miners, Mini Coopers, MGs, Jags, Rolls Royces, and Vauxhalls. You would be amazed what comes out of the woodwork for that show. So that is worth driving out to check and see. I've been to a few of them. An auto jumble, you're saying, what is an auto jumble? It's like a swap meet, okay? The Brits have different words for everything. You know, it's like Steve Martin said, those French have a different word for everything.
You have to queue up.
And what is nice about that show, that all these British cars have been driven there and they're running. So that's worth seeing.
That is not just nice. That is a Christmas miracle. There will be like, usually there are 300 to 400 of these British cars. And I don't know how much grass they kill leaking oil, but by golly, they make it out there. That is a, if you want to see a miracle, if you want to believe in a God of horsepower or whatever you choose to believe in, go to Woodley Park and check it out just to see all those cars that actually showed up. 80% of success is just showing up.
Absolutely.
And another event tomorrow, right in Pasadena, not far from us here at the studio, the Pasadena Roadster Club Reliability Run. Now, the Roadster Club was actually traces its roots back to the 20s when they organized some dry lakes racing out in the deserts here of Southern California. Then after the war, everybody came back and they organized together. And that's kind of when they started the Pasadena Roadster Club. Now, the Reliability Run is going to be a bunch of members are going to be there. They're all pre-registered now. So you can't, I think it's too late to sign up, but you can go. Members of the public can go and watch them assemble. It's going to be in the Pasadena Elks Lodge. And if you want information on that, PasadenaRoadsterClub.org. It's a great site. They have a whole page on the history of their group. And Ricardo, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's also important to mention that one of the rules for this event is that they have to be, you know, metal bodies, not kit cars. So they have to be the original roadsters with flathead V8s. And that makes it quite interesting because, you know, you're looking at the real cars, not the kit cars.
Yeah, it's less, cool. But it's a great show, the real deal. So go check that out. Also happening tomorrow. There's a lot going on tomorrow. Supercar Sunday, Pierce College. That's 7 to 10 a.m. Now, Pierce College is out there in the valley. And the way you want to go in is they're in the main lot. Don't just punch in Pierce College because it'll send you to the wrong entrance. You want to go to the main lot off of Victory Boulevard, Lot 7, and check that out. And another thing in Pasadena, Ricardo, what do we have coming up?
Well, next week, downtown Pasadena, three blocks are going to be shut down on Colorado Boulevard because the Ferrari Concorso Pasadena will take place again. It's wonderful to see. This is an annual event where actually I just spoke with one of the organizers. They said they capped it at 100 cars to be judged, but probably going to be another 30 or 40 more Ferraris on display. So it's going to be quite a beautiful show. It's nice to walk around so many different Ferraris. And also there's so many restaurants right there. So you can have a wonderful day and bring the kids.
Yeah, bring the kids. That's also free. I think all these things so far are free, right? You don't have to. Yes. Oh, you have to pay for the Porsche one, which is always the case. The first item that we spoke about. But Corso Ferrari, I looked over the entry list for that. And they're not all 355s. You know, there are some older cars there. And there's even, I'm the only guy on the planet who thinks the Mondial is a cool-looking car. So there's one Mondial there, transverse-mounted V8 powering that thing. I would love to have one of those. I mentioned that to the president of the Ferrari Club, and he sent me one. But unfortunately, it was only 1/43rd scale. But still, a nice gesture from Jim Bindman, the president of Ferrari Club. So go up and say hello to him. Maybe one of us will make it out there. I hope to be able to make it out there. It's always a good show. Some years, I remember Bruce Meyer brought his 1957 Testarossa there that had, I believe it, won Le Mans. But you never know what you're going to see. So go check that out. It's free. There's lots of places to buy frozen yogurt. What more do you want in a car event?
Right.
If you're not into Italian cars, if you're not into Ferrari, you can drive to the Galpin collection in North Hollywood. They have sort of an open door for their collection, And it's also it's one of the dates for the Mustang Club of California. So I think there will be a lot of nice cars, a lot of fours, obviously. But that's another take of just so many events in Southern California all the time. It's so hard to choose.
We are lucky to live here, aren't we?
That's right.
Are all our listeners. And then if you like horse racing, in addition to your horsepower, there's an event called the Californian held at Santa Anita Park. And it's held on the infield of the actual horse racing track. It's a collection of really cool motorcycles. That's going to be happening May 4th. So write that down in your calendar. We know that Honda is going to bring three vintage Honda motorcycles to that event. So that'll be fun. I went to one. I think the last one happened just before COVID, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a nice collection of motorcycles. There were some, you know, a lot of Japanese bikes. It was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was mostly Japanese bikes that year. I don't know what'll show up this year. There's all kinds. What do you think, Ricardo?
Yeah, I was there with one of my Ducatis. So there were
There we go. I all like right. How you say one of my Ducatis. That sounds so
That's
cool.
Such a humble brag.
Such a humble brag. Which one did you, are you going to go again?
I'm thinking about it. We'll see. Another week.
When I went there, it was fun because you can, you know, there's a tunnel under the track. You're not trapped at the motorcycle show. You can go in with everybody else. And I think almost everybody there was three sheets to the wind. So everybody was having a good time. It was like a party. Yeah. So that's coming up. Also on that same day, if you like motorcycles and or have a little bit more commitment, you can go to the Quail Motorcycle Gathering on Saturday, May 4th. That's at the Quail Lodge and Golf Club in Carmel, California. Yes, that is the same location where the Quail, a Motorsports Gathering, will take place in August as part of Pebble Beach Week. But you can see what Pebble Beach Week was like when it was just one day by going to this Quail Motorcycle Gathering. It's just enthusiasts. There's no pretension there. It's a great show. It'll celebrate this.
I just wonder, all these organizers, is there a reason why they don't talk to each other, that they schedule shows on the same day? We have 365 days in a year. You know, the Californian has to be the same day as the Quail. What's up with that?
It's one of those terrible things. You know, we all have our crosses to bear, and we are going to do it. I am scheduled right now to go up to Quail Motorcycle Gathering on May 4th. So we'll see if I can make it. We'll see whether I actually... most of the time I ride a motorcycle, but last year I drove a car and I felt a lot more relaxed when I arrived in the car than, I don't know, what is it, 400 miles up there on a bike? Oh. Even if you get the biggest, most comfortable bike made, it's still a challenge, but it's a wonderful show. It's some of the best motorcycles, that you will ever see. It's like a Pebble Beach for motorcycles, I would say.
It's the premier motorcycle event in the United States.
It is. And it's well worth the drive or the ride to get up there. And as anybody who owns a motorcycle knows, there's lots of great roads here between here and Carmel. There's a ton of cool stuff to see. And right here in our own city, our own Peterson Museum, right, Ricardo? We got a couple things coming up.
Yes, May 11th is the opening of this sort of lowrider exhibition called Best in Low. Always lowriders are part of Southern California culture. And it's amazing the craftsmanship that all these men put into the cars. To me, I'm always amazed at the paint jobs and the chrome and the engraving and all the metal. Definitely, these are artists of the highest caliber. But the paint jobs are just amazing. Layers upon layers, different colors, and 10, 20 coats of clear, the shine, the themes, the motifs, very, very artistic. So from that part, I'm always amazed at what we see. And being a new show, I'm sure we're going to see something new.
Right.
So I'm very looking forward for that.
Yeah, this is the fourth lowrider exhibit at the Peterson that they've had since the Peterson opened. How old is the Peterson? Is it 20? Is it 30 years? I lose track. It was in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, it was in the 90s. It was
30 years.
Yeah, around 30.
They've had four of them, and from my understanding, it's always the most popular event that they have. It draws in more people because, of course, Southern California, the birthplace of lowrider culture, is here, and I think Lowrider Magazine was published here. So some beautiful cars. I believe that the Gypsy Rose is going to be there, which is sort of acknowledged as the best lowrider ever made. It's a 6.4, as they say, 1964 Chevy Impala Coupe. So that'll be there. but there's all kinds of stuff. And as Ricardo said, those the murals that they paint on those cars are just stunning in their detail. Yes.
Something else that's at the Peterson is the GN Motorama.
Yes.
If you recall, the Motorama was an event that started in 1949 and concluded in 1961. Well, the famous General Motors stylist, Harley Earl, but it was showcasing these concepts for the future. And some of those cars were so far ahead of their time. It's just amazing. So there are some of these cars at the Peterson Museum in this new exhibition that is called the GM Motorama. I had an opportunity to preview these, and I was really taken because there's a couple of cars that are unrestored. It's a miracle they're still around in one piece, because it gives you the sense of, oh, how they were made. You can see the metal and all that. This 1955 Chevrolet Biscayne is one of my all-time favorites. And that one, it's been restored once. You also have the 55 Lesage Roadster and the 53 Wildcat. All these are cars that are iconic from that era. They have appeared in so many TV commercials, magazine articles. I mean, this is part of history of the automotive industry in America. So that's another reason to go to the Peterson.
Yep. And an ongoing exhibit there is Corvettes in Competition. That's going to be there through August. You see a lot of those beautiful racing Corvettes that have raced at Le Mans, at Daytona, Sebring, all over the place. They will be there. Since 1957, they've been making Corvettes, right? Was it 1957? Or no, that was
no, 53.
Yeah, 53 was the first Corvette. Thank goodness you're on this show.
And it's all and the other thing about that time, it was just it was the old fiberglass one-piece body.
Yeah, and the first ones weren't that strong on the track. And thanks to Zora Arkus-Duntov, a Russian engineer, he brought them out, and he kind of kept the development going, even though the Automobile Manufacturers Association had banned racing in 1957 because of the terrible crash at Le Mans in 1955. But they still kept doing it kind of under the table, and then it came back, and they've been racing Corvettes for many, many years. And you can see those at the Corvettes in Competition ongoing through August at the Peterson. Yet another reason to go to that fine institution. I have another event. Speaking of moms, Michelle, you're a mom, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Ricardo and I are going to take you to this, to the Zimmerman Automobile Driving Museum on May 12th. They have, and all moms like this first one, they have wine tasting. So there'll be wine tasting there, and then you can take a ride with your mom in one of the museum's vintage automobiles. You have to go to the website. And check.
I just want to check. Is this from moms or mothers-in-law? Because if I drink wine and then I take my mother-in-law in the car, could have different implications, and I could be a different show.
We apologize to all mother-in-laws in Southern California in our listening area. We will be fielding your complaints here at APFK.
Just tell Mark. Complain to Mark.
You complain to Ricardo. We'll be giving out his cell phone number later.
Yeah. My mom actually lives in the South Bay, so I could take my mom up there.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, she would love it. She's Italian, so wine is fine.
Yeah, sure.
Heck yeah.
And wine is fine all the time.
It is. And then you get to ride in a cool vintage automobile that, you know, you're not going to see anywhere except for in this museum that is still running.
It
fantastic.
Is still running.
Yeah.
It is running. Okay, a couple more events. There will be no, because it's May, there will be no NHRA Motorsport Museum Twilight Cruise-In. Those happen on the first Wednesday of each month, but it will not be happening in May because the Fairplex is taken over by the fair, which is the reason they built that place. So there's no Twilight Cruise-In in May, but they will start again in June and run the rest of the year on the first Wednesday of each month through December, I guess, from 4 to 7 p.m. So start planning for a month away. Michelle, what do you think?
I'm thinking we need to talk more about our fundraising.
Our fundraising,
because,
good.
It is time.
We need funds.
Let people know that one of the things that people don't realize about KPFK is all of us bring our special background and talent and experience to the shows and provide something very unique. But again, like you said at the beginning, Mark, it's all a volunteer effort. And you don't get paid. I don't get paid. and Ricardo doesn't get paid. And what we end up doing is that throughout the week, we cultivate all these stories and we dig and we research and we want to make sure it's all correct. We always try very hard to bring you accurate information and make sure that it's timely and informative. So it's free. And the least I think the public could do to appreciate our donations, basically of our time and treasure and talent, is pick up the phone or go on the website and make a donation.
I agree wholeheartedly. Call 818-985-5735. Or if you don't want to talk to people, and who does, go to kpfk.org and make a donation there. You can even donate your car, bus, RV, motor, scooter, whatever you have. We are happy to take it because, as Michelle said, this place is run on donations. We don't take ads. We are not corrupted by the man. Right, guys?
Yes.
And we are independent voices, as are our colleagues here. The show after us, Bill Garner, Rhapsody in Black, is a wonderful show. 2 hours of music that you didn't know you loved. The show before us gives a perspective. It's called Spotlight on Africa. It gives a perspective of issues in Africa that nobody else is talking about. Those are just the shows around the car show here. There are shows like that 24 hours a day here on KPFK. And in order to keep those coming to you, we need your donation. Now, there are millions, tens of millions of people within the 110,000-watt broadcasting radius of this show and this station. So what we would like you to do is call in or dial or go to the internet to kpfk.org or call in to 818-985-5735 and make a donation. We'll be back in just another second we'll be back in 20 more minutes to beg you again. But right now, we are going to the news. Michelle, you've been doing a little research on what's open and what's closed in Southern California. What'd you find?
Right, exactly. So we need to, unfortunately, give you the news that came out of the Caltrans PR department that the Topanga Canyon Road closure is going to it's not going to be open anytime soon. It's going to drag on until fall. And they just had tons of dirt and rock fall down onto the road. And so they're not able to get it out of there. They're having a lot of trouble with it. And so their PR people told us that unfortunately it's going to not be cleared until fall. So you have to stay away from that area. I was looking at an alternate route for you to use. They're saying go to the 405 to the 101 into San Fernando Valley as an alternate route, or use Malibu Canyon Road.
Malibu Canyon Road, it gets up to 4 lanes wide. It can handle the traffic.
Okay, so that's what they're telling people to do until they can get it cleared. So once we hear from Caltrans about their progress, we'll keep you apprised, and hopefully it's sooner than the fall. I mean, I just can't imagine that summer with all the people coming into town, that's going to be an issue.
But have you seen any pictures of that? I haven't seen photos of it. I just wonder how bad is it got to be for it to be closed for that long.
It's bad. It is bad.
It's really bad. And there are photos. There was 9.2 million pounds of earth that gave way and ended up on the roadway.
Wow.
Yeah.
The good thing is that when it happened, seems like traffic was very, very low. No one got injured. So that's a great thing.
Well,
that's a blessing.
I don't know, 9.2 million pounds, there could be a guy under there, you know. Let me out. He's trying to make his cell phone work. Who knows?
Aww.
Okay, inappropriate joke. We will be apologizing for that joke
later and apologies on the show. Apologies to all the mothers-in-law, too.
Yeah, them too. But farther up the coast, there's another problem, isn't there?
Mm,
well, not
right.
A problem, just a
there's project. Well, just a heads up, right, the wildlife crossing is going in Agoura as we speak. So for the next few weekends and probably during the weekdays, they're going to try to avoid doing anything during the day. But the 101 freeway is going to have these closures at night between 11 and 4 a.m. so that they can build this wildlife crossing, which is something that's been in the works for years. I don't even know how long, but Caltrans is, again, advising the way to get around this is to use SR 118 to get to Agoura Hills and the Calabasas areas. So when you go visit your famous relatives, go use the 118 instead.
The Ronald Reagan freeway is probably the only time that this station will say Ronald Reagan.
Oh, well, yeah. So
we apologize later. We'll have more apologies later.
Yes, we have lots of apologies.
All right.
But anyway, so yeah, that's just for if you're going to go, just make sure you get into that area before 11 p.m. and you should be all right.
Right. They're saying 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. and that's for several weeks. So it's not as bad as some of the other closures. Right. I went to, speaking of closures, one that has been closed since the 70s, Highway 39 from Azusa up to Highway 2. There was a Caltrans meeting open to the public about, for public comment about whether or not they should open that up again. And Caltrans has basically presented four options for it. The first one being, just leave it as it is, leave it closed. And the option number four, which we are all hoping for, is to have that opened. So that wouldn't that be something if they actually decide to open that up. Now, I myself have illegally ridden a bicycle up that, and it's a beautiful road, and it looked fine to me. It didn't look washed out. There was no mudslide across it. There was nothing blocking the road. And I think they keep it in that state just to keep it available for, fire trucks or whatever. But anyway, that's going on. Angeles Crest is still closed above Red Box. You can get up to Newcombs by going north on Angeles Forest, right, turn right on Upper Big Tahunga, and then turn left again on Angeles Forest. Now, speaking of Newcombs Ranch, I have heard from some people who should know that might be opening up again. Nothing official, but we are all hopeful for that. Newcombs Ranch, when it was open, we didn't know what we had until it's gone, and there are some really good people working toward opening that up again. So let's hope that they do. And if you would rather, instead of driving on a road, if you would rather just drive into the drink, Michelle, tell us what you did in Florida.
Oh, yeah. So did you guys know about the Amphicar?
Yes.
That it was only built for a short period of time, right, from 1961 to 1968. And everyone in California pretty much has probably seen one, maybe in movies or something like that. But it's hard to actually get a chance to get in one unless you know somebody that still owns one, because they only made 3,800 of them worldwide, and only about 3,000 came to the U.S. And then they had to stop making them, mostly because of the dangerous at any speed. Deadly at Any Speed book.
I saw your pictures of you riding in this thing, and I was, I don't know, man, there's not a lot of gunwale there keeping that water out. What was it like?
Mm-mm. It was fine. It was absolutely fine. It's got a totally sealed compartment that you ride in. And as soon as the captain turns it to seal, you go into the drink and you do splash, and it is so fun. And the water goes all over you. And then, but when you're floating, it does look like you're kind of gonna be able to reach out and touch the water right there, but it never goes up above. It never reaches your arm level or the level where the window is.
But what if there was just like the wake of a boat going by? Would that be enough to swamp you?
Oh, it could. Yeah, it could. Absolutely. Because right. It only has, 45 horsepower on land, and it goes 7 knots in the water, which is really slow.
Uh-huh.
So, and then of course it's German made, and it's got this Triumph engine. And it also has the Porsche transmission, by the way. So you got your four on the floor. It's just like a Volkswagen when you get in it. It is the cutest thing. They even have the Wolfsburg insignia on the steering wheel. And he said, I was one of the only people that recognized that it wasn't the Disney castle and that it was the Wolfsburg.
Yeah, good.
So
good.
I distinguished myself. Yes. But yeah,
as you do every show.
The captain takes you around the lake, and they have a rotating group of about 8 of these there. And he told us this is the only place where you can just jump in one and go for a ride. They have one mechanic who works on them every day and keeps them running. And it's the trickiest part, of course, is getting the water out at the end of the day when they're done with all the runs. And that is why a lot of them are not survivors. They rotted away. Especially if you run them in salt water, it's even worse, he said. So this is a freshwater lake.
Now this was in Orlando, Florida, right? At Universal Orlando, Universal Studios Orlando. So this is this is a regular thing there.
This is regular. It's a permanent installment. It's actually at the Disney Springs, which is like their downtown Disney in Orlando. And the guy who runs the boathouse, which is the restaurant that's right next to it, his name is Steven Schussler. And he's the one who actually owns the cars, and he's an Amphicar enthusiast, and he had this collection. And it was his idea to make it as part of an entertainment thing to go with his restaurant there in Disney Springs. And you do not have to eat at the restaurant. It's $125 to go ride in the Amphicar there. I got a discount because we had eaten dinner there. They give you a little discount. And then your captain takes you, and you can have three people in there. So it was perfect for me and my daughter and my son-in-law. We all went around.
Great.
So there you go. I didn't know much about those cars, but it was really fun to learn all about them. And Ricardo to know that some of them are still around.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a wonderful experience. And it just you reminded me some German mechanical parts in the water. Mark and myself, we had something similar we previewed. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting for me that a manufacturer will go to the extent to build almost a bridge in a lake, but they did. And we had this great opportunity to preview what's coming in a year or so from Mercedes-Benz, all new G-Wagon electric. Yes, a G-Wagon with electric motors. But the show was fantastic. Mark, did you notice there were these huge sort of balloon moons?
Right, yeah.
It was
lighting spheres.
This was in a lake. It was full moon, and there were pyramids behind the car. I think there was a lot of esoteric knowledge being delivered to us, to our subconscious, to really be able to absorb and take in all that music from Travis Scott, I think is the name.
Yes, Travis Scott. He is a rapper, and I am approximately 150 years too old to really get into that. But what we're talking about here is that Mercedes introduced the all-electric, what they're calling the G580 with EQ technology. And they did this at, I think, what's the name of it? Stone Canyon Reservoir or something?
Yes.
And Mercedes built a series of platforms out onto the lake. And then we stood on other platforms that were on the dam that made the lake. And we watched the Mercedes G-Wagon come out on there, and then Travis Scott jumped out and started singing and rapping and everything. And there were movie stars there. Trevor Noah was right behind me. Bradley Cooper was there somewhere. There was at least one Kardashian. Other people who watch TV were pointing out stars behind me. What did you see, Ricardo?
I got to talk to George Russell from Formula One.
How did that go?
That was great. I mean, it's just
did you give him some tips? Because you're both open wheel racers.
This is the first time that I meet him face to face. And it's just like when you see him on TV, he's just a down to earth kid, very, very mature. And I think people don't realize he's very, very talented, but he had big shoes to fill because his brother was already world champion in 250cc karting world, which are super fast. You know, to be in that shadow, it creates a lot of pressure. But it was a wonderful event, I have to say. Loud, but wonderful. And the car itself, sort of very lucky to preview the whole history of the G-Wagon. They have a 1979, which was the original civilian version of this car. And then we walked through sort of the park, the forest, scenes, the history of these vehicles until we got to see at night the newest version, which is, as we mentioned, an electric version that has four motors, one on each wheel, an approximate range of about 240 miles. They're talking about somewhere about $180,000-$170,000 for the base price. It looks just like what it should look. It still retains that unique styling, and I think that's very important for that particular model. The inside is beautiful. I like the wood touches and all that. A large screen, but I was not surprised because I kind of expected that, but it's a wonderful vehicle. And definitely now we're going to have a gasoline version and an electric version of these.
Both versions will continue to be manufactured and sold concurrently for the foreseeable future. Anyway, I mean, it's going to be a long time before Mercedes goes all electric, but this one, this all electric G-Wagen, or however you want to say it, makes 579 horsepower and 859 pound feet of torque. And it is, it has all kinds of things to make it a competent off-roader. Now, I know I have, and I think you guys have also driven these Geländewagens before off-road, and they're very impressive what they can do. They're not just posers. So we're looking forward to being able to drive this car.
Did they have any changes in the design? Is it still the real boxy look?
It's very boxy. And they made a very, very slight couple of concessions to aerodynamics, but it's really kind of hard to tell. It does look a little bit more rounded off, but ultimately it's upright and boxy. So,
but it's a purpose built. So we know that it's an off-road vehicle. It's interesting how some vehicles change by what the market demands. It's still an off-road vehicle, but somehow it has become sort of an icon and a luxurious automobile at the same time.
Anything on range? Did they talk about that?
Yes, about 240 miles. But again, I assume that that would be if you drive it on the street. Obviously, if you're going to be off-roading, that's going to be a whole different story. There are four electric motors. Each one puts about 145 horsepower. So there's one electric motor per wheel. The ground clearance is almost 10 inches. So it would be very, very capable.
It's competent. And Ricardo, that was not all that you did in the last week. You took out your Mustang to another show. Tell us about that. We have about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, fortunate. I'm very thankful to Aston Martin. I had the opportunity to preview the 2025 Aston Martin Vantage, the all-new version that incorporates an engine, since we were talking about Mercedes-Benz. This new Aston Martin has the AMG 4-liter V8 twin turbo that now will have 656 horsepower. And that is quite a machine. A whole new front fascia, a new rear end, a new interior vehicle that we were able to preview was an orange, very striking color, a lot of carbon fiber inside and outside the car. It seems to be a very, very powerful car. We also saw the racing version at the Long Beach Grand Prix. It's a wonderful car. Everybody's telling me that it's better and faster than a 911, and it may be. I don't know. I think we're going to have to get one of each.
Well, next go to Newcombs. I'm flying to Spain right after we're done here in order to drive that thing in Spain. So I'll have an update on that. I was actually asking you about Fabulous Fords Forever. You went to that. We have 1 minute.
Yes.
To tell us about that.
Well, what do you expect? Over 1,000 Fords in one place. Out of those 1,000, probably 800 or 700 were Ford Mustangs from 1964 and a half to the 2024 versions. It was a wonderful show. A lot of people. I was impressed. Thousands and thousands of people. It was a wonderful day. They did use the drag strip, so there was a lot of running through there. There were four quarter-mile dragsters running, and it was a wonderful time. I love to see a lot of kids taking, you know, pictures next to the cars. So we have Mustangs, we have Shelbys, we have Cobras, we have GT40s. Of course, we got F100s and F150s. It was a wonderful day. And if you missed it, make sure to mark the calendar for next year. Fabulous Ford Forever, a wonderful event. But now we need to talk about your help. We need your help. You're our audience. We appreciate you listening to us. But this station needs a little bit of help. It's a nonprofit. It's an all-volunteer. This show has been on air for over 50 years. We believe it's the oldest still running automotive show, and it is Car Culture Center, right? We're in Los Angeles, so we need to keep this going. You can help us. Come on. You can put $5, $10, $10. It's not going to break the budget, but it will help the station to stay alive. Mark?
Put us in your will, for goodness sakes. Do something. We need the cash. 110,000 watts of power from atop Mount Wilson does not come cheap. And that's just the broadcasting stuff. We have to keep the lights on. The few staff members, we have to keep them coming in and paid. We have some wonderful technicians here who throw all the switches. Wendell, if you're listening, hello. Thank you for your hard work. There is support that is needed here at KPFK. And if you can do your part, please do call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and click donate. And you can even donate your car to KPFK. As we said earlier, we are hoping that somebody from the Mullen collection, you know, if they don't sell all those cars at that auction, maybe they can, donate that to KPFK. A Bugatti would do nicely, bring in some money for the show. But anything you can do to help KPFK will be appreciated. So please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. Now, we're into the meat of the hour here. We're going to talk about actual cars that we've actually driven. And Michelle already did a fine review on the Amphi car. We have one that is a little bit more stable, but I think if it went into the drink, it would sink like a rock. Ricardo and I both drove it. What did you think, Ricardo, of the Genesis G90 sedan?
Well, I have to give credit to this company because pretty much every car that is coming out of this Korean manufacturer, it's been a hit. Well-deserved, perhaps. They're showing that they can, be very close to the established German brands doing, within the luxury market. The G90 is a large four-door sedan, five-passenger sedan, all-wheel drive. They have gone down. They don't have the V8 anymore, but now they have a very powerful V6 that puts 375 horsepower. But they also have another version that has an electric supercharger that generates 405 horsepower. I felt there was plenty of power that you needed. But this car looks great, but for myself, I was impressed on its interior. The quality, you can feel that the materials, the stitching. In general, you feel you're surrounded in a very luxurious interior. And it's not easy to make a luxurious car. It's, a car that is quiet, sort of moves around effortless, wonderful audio system. You will better pronounce it than me. It's what is it called? Bang Olufsen? Is that the right
name? Bang and Olufsen. It's not Bang and Olufsen. I think it's Norwegian or something. It's not German.
It's but, Swedish.
It's but Swedish. All I know, thank you, Michelle. Thank goodness we have adult supervision on this show.
All I know is that there are 23 speakers inside the car.
Wow.
And the sound is just wonderful. And on top of that, both just, driver and passenger seat have their massage chairs. So you can kind of cruise on freeway, put the cruise control 65 miles an hour, set the massage, put the volume up. And
I had one of these for a week, and it was a very, very pleasant week. I first sat in this car, didn't drive it, back in 2022 when they introduced it at the Genesis Invitational Golf Tournament. Now, I never go to golf tournaments, but this is where they had it. They had it parked right there on one of the putting greens, and I sat in the back of it, and I just fell in love with it right then and there. It felt like, now I have sat in the back of the new Maybach, the long wheelbase version of that. And it, it's obviously not going to be exactly the same as that, but it evokes that kind of luxury when you sit in it. And when you drive down the road, it's very well tuned for driving in a straight line. I didn't really get to put it in a lot of curves or anything. I certainly didn't go up Angeles Crest in it. But it is very well engineered, very well put together. And as Ricardo said, Hyundai Genesis seems to have a hit with just about everything they make. And this was a very, very nice car. What do you have? What do you have for price on that, Ricardo?
Well, the base price is $90,000.
Yeah.
That it's, $90,000 for the equipment that the car has. It's a very good price if we compare it to the Germans. I mean, it competes, hand-to-hand with the S-Class from Mercedes-Benz, the 7 Series BMW, and the Audi A8. I mean, these are cars that have been established for a long time in that segment. So, yes, there are some minor shortcomings, I will say. The car comes with rear wheel steering, which you notice sometimes. It's very quiet. I think that the steering is not as precise as the Germans, but I think this manufacturer is going to get there. But overall, I'm very impressed with the interior, the look. Definitely, you know that it is a luxury vehicle. And it becomes an option for something else. And today's, you know, a lot of young people are not that familiar with some of the brands. So I think it's a very good alternative if you're looking for high-quality content in an automobile. It's worth looking into it.
Yeah, for generations, it was just assumed that you would have to buy a Mercedes if you wanted something luxurious. And now, as you say, there's this Genesis option out there, which is good. It's good for the customer to have choice. So we both enjoyed that, had a great time in that car for the week. We each had it, so we might have had the same car different weeks. Who knows? I don't know.
But, probably white probably. with brown interior.
Yeah, that was it. Probably the same one. So yeah, that was a good experience. I had a couple other good experiences with two different, well, one Toyota and one Lexus last week. I had I was going up to the Seattle area on vacation, actually, and I looked down the list of cars that were available. Now, I am something of a, not a minivan enthusiast, but like a microvan enthusiast. I tend to freakishly, for no good reason, I like those. I think the Fiat Multipla, that little Italian thing, which is actually the first, in my opinion, the first real minivan. You could say the Volkswagen van too, but you know, this Multipla had this foldable seats. It was versatile, and it was built in Italy from 1956 to 67. I just loved that thing until I drove one, and then you know, it could not get to 60 miles an hour, so there was no 0 to 60 time. Top speed was like 57.
I can speak of the brakes of the Fiat Multipla, because the Formula Junior that I drive at vintage events have brakes from a Fiat Multipla, and they do not stop.
There you have it.
that makes that's one of the things you love about that, about those Italian cars. We could talk Italian cars for a long time, but so anyway, like there were other these micro minivans. Anybody remember the Nissan Access, the Mitsubishi Expo LRV? In Europe, they had the Opel Zafira. Here, they had for many years the Mazda 5 and Ford. I was racking my brain trying to remember that Ford had one. It wasn't the Windstar or the Aerostar. It was smaller than that, and it came out as a hybrid. But this size of thing just sort of appeals to me. And now, so when I saw the Toyota Venza on this list of car possibilities, I just decided that I had to have it. And it was actually quite nice. I enjoyed driving this thing. It has it's a hybrid, of course, 2.5 liter four-cylinder gasoline engine with two electric motors helping it out. And it has a CVT transmission. Now, you think CVT, well, geez, that's not going to be any good. But for the kind of driving I was doing, even coming down long mountain passes, I was able to downshift the CVT transmission. And I felt it was quite well done in that regard. And it has a sport mode. I don't know exactly what they do for the sport mode. Maybe it increases I couldn't really tell. I was flipping the switch back and forth, but the Toyota Venza, mine was the limited model. Ricardo, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's also a very good size for a family. As a family vehicle, the Venza pretty much, it offers you, you know, interior space, good size trunk, fuel economy, dependability that we all are very familiar with the Toyota product. And overall, I think they've done a wonderful job. And now I really like the new styling. This new styling is a lot, at least for me, a lot more appealing than before. The car has grown a little bit in size, but it is it's a good choice when you're shopping for a family car.
Now, the sad news, though, is that it's going away. It's going to be replaced by the 2025 Toyota Crown Signia, which is kind of the same thing. So this is the last year that you can get one of these. The Toyota Venza, of course, it came out in 2009 and peaked. I think it was 2008 it came out. And it peaked in 2009 at 54,000 sales in the U.S. per year. Last year, it was down to 29,900. Let's round that up to 30,000. So, I mean, it's they must be making money off of it. but it's they're not making enough money to keep it going, and they really like that Crown Signia.
But I think I'm not talking about Toyota specifically right now, but I think some of the manufacturers have just too many products that are very similar in size. I've noticed, for example, like Kia, you have 5 or 6 different SUV type vehicles, from compact, small, medium size, large size. And at one point is how many, you know, when you're right. talking about only about $2,500 in difference in price, it's right. not enough. I think you're sort of within your own model line, right? You're just poaching.
The market is just saturated with the crossovers. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, time marches on, and not all things gotta go away at some point. But I was really happy with this Venza. The price, though, was $46,169 for the particular Venza Limited model that I had, and that was a bit steep. I don't know if I would of course, I just buy used cars because I'm cheap. But if I was not so cheap, the next car that I had that I actually picked up from the airport was a Lexus TX500H F-Sport all-wheel drive. Now, this is a large-ish crossover utility vehicle, but the difference, it's not just like all the others out there. The difference is that F-Sport tuning. You think, gee, that's just a badge and some stickers. In this case, it's really not, because they tuned the suspension specifically for it. They get their own performance dampers. And you know, when they say dampers instead of shocks, that means performance, right? And they had 22-inch F-Sport wheels on it. And of course, there's a lot of F-Sport trim things both inside and out on it. But I was really surprised. I didn't have any preconceived notion of what this was going to be like. And it responded so well to the throttle and to the steering. I was quite happy. Did you have thoughts, Ricardo?
Well, also, let's not
or forget. Or Michelle, you're welcome too.
it also, you have the sound on the F. Once you put it in the sport mode, you know, the sound changes, and instead of, you know, it kind of excites you to press the accelerator a little bit more. And I noticed that Lexus has a motorsport program that it's increasing the funding, and we see more Lexus on the racetracks all over the world, and they're having some successes. So that's interesting.
They just won in Long Beach.
That's right. That's right. That's what I was thinking of. Is that the Lexus are winning on the racetrack, so definitely that pushes that F branding within the cars. Michelle?
Yeah, I was going to say I loved. I've test driven some Lexi back in the day, not recently, but you know, when I was doing the show in San Diego, and I always enjoyed getting in an RC, RCF, any of those. I love the feel of a Lexus. It's very nice. I think for somebody in my station of life where I don't have to haul around kids anymore. It's a great car for a middle-aged person. It takes care of your body.
I'm sure Toyota would be happy to hear that it's a good car for a middle-aged person. That's going to be great. Their marketing slogan.
No, it's really a nice vehicle.
I just turned 25, and I also like it a lot.
Yeah, right. Ricardo loves
I just turned 125, and I liked it. So we cover the spectrum here at the car show. At KPFK. Now, this car, it's just a 2.4 liter four-cylinder drive in this thing. And it looks like a really large vehicle. You would expect it to have more, you know, a V6 at least. But it's just a four-cylinder with two electric motors attached to that for a total of 366 horsepower. And one good thing about it, it did not have a CVT. It had an automatic transmission, six-speed auto, and a direct four all-wheel drive available. I don't think I ever got the all-wheel drive engaged, just in the short time that I had it. But I really got to go back and emphasize again how well it felt behind the wheel, how much fun it was. And by golly, if I had $77,000, I'd buy one. Yes, Ricardo?
We can see through the J.D. Power's studies that Lexus continues to be one of the brands that is always on top in terms of quality, reliability.
Customer satisfaction.
Customer satisfaction. Right. So that's something that has not changed in a long, long time.
Right. They hold the crown on that.
Speaking of customer satisfaction, we want you to be satisfied and you want us to be satisfied here at KPFK. And the way we do that, you have to pay. You have to get out pull out the wallet, dust those cobwebs off, and send us some money so that we can keep the lights on and continue broadcasting, continue bringing you the shows and the points of view that you will not get anywhere else here at KPFK. Call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make a big fat donation. What are you going to do with that money, right? You're not going to do anything with it. Yeah, you can send the kids to state schools. We have great state schools here in California. Please make a donation to KPFK by calling 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org. Am I right, colleagues here?
Yes, of course. We need everybody's help. Again, this is the longest automotive show still running, and that's something that is part of Los Angeles. Thank you for your support. Send your questions. If you have questions before purchasing a vehicle, you can reach us through our social media at Michelle. You have the details on the social media?
Right. We have a Facebook page, The Car Show on KPFK 97.1 FM.
Okay. So just,
you can upload your questions there, make the donation, and listen, there's a new show coming up right now that is about music, and it's wonderful. Mark, last details?
Bill Garner, Rhapsody in Black, coming up. Please stay tuned for that 2 hours of music you didn't know you loved, and come back next week here on The Car Show. Goodbye, everybody. Drive safely.
Hello, this is Martin Sheen, and you're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara.
Radio Pacífica es una de las últimas estaciones de radio comunitarias en extinción, en una nación que enaltece el principio de la libertad de expresión. Fundada en 1949 por objetores de conciencia de la Segunda Guerra Mundial, Pacífica es una de las radios comunitarias más antiguas en el mundo y una de las únicas que transmite en español en los Estados Unidos. Pacífica se mantiene económicamente a través de donaciones públicas. No recibimos fondos de corporaciones y eso nos permite nuestra libertad editorial y mantener nuestra misión pacifista.
The Pacifica mission statement is to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, to encourage and supply outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and color to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. The Pacifica Mission Statement.
Support comes from the Soraya, presenting the return of the iconoclastic Chicano performance troupe Culture Clash on May 4th. Their all-new show, May the 40th Be With You, serves up an explosive cocktail of humor and satirical outrage that dares you not to laugh out loud. California natives Richard Montoya, Rick Salinas, and Herbert Siguenza have